Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, many of the British newspapers today feature pictures of the UK Chancellor Rachel Reeves wiping away tears during Prime Minister's question time. Since then, Keir Starmer has had to defend her, saying the tears were because of a personal matter rather than politics. But why should we? Why should he have to? What's wrong with crying at work the odd time? Linda Barry is a career consultant. Good afternoon, Linda.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
Yeah, I know. Apparently the pound dropped for a while after these pictures had been beamed around the world. It kind of says probably to a mindset that crying is a form of weakness and nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very, I think, a topic that's been around for years, but to be under such public pressure, and whether it is a personal or a professional issue, we may never know. But the pressure that this person is under, having now been publicly shown crying, is pretty significant, particularly their role as, you know, Chancellor and that. So I suppose, as a career coach, I think it's something that companies don't always have a policy around, you know, crying at work. It's not something that they need to necessarily form a policy at work. But even I put up a survey this morning, and 83% of the followers who voted had actually cried at work. So it's definitely something that's common and that can happen quite often. But I don't think it's really spoken about enough. Not a lot of people know what to do with it when it does happen.
Yes, indeed. And that there's a sense that if somebody starts crying at work, it's something really, really bad. Maybe it's because we don't understand crying, because people can cry because they're sad or frustrated, or it's kind of mildly therapeutic.
Yeah, I think, you know, back in the day, whatever timing that is, you know, crying at work would have been something maybe avoided, or something that was just directly related to someone seeming, you know, incapable or that. But now I think people look at it as, you know, a human person. And I suppose since COVID, the contracting work has become very, you know, more personal. And obviously there's a lot more emphasis on mental health, well-being, employee engagement, all of those factors. So I think there is probably more of an understanding in a business if someone does start to cry, but it's just something that can carry a lot of shame and not a lot of people know what to do with it. So, you know, there are some tips that I can share around helping people to navigate that, but it can be pretty hard. And obviously you want to get the context, like, is this a professional reason for crying, or is it personal? And that changes how you'd navigate working around it as well.
Does it though, in the sense that it's just a display of emotion, like maybe rising your voice slightly or you know, banging your pen on the table or something? It could be a reaction to a set of circumstances, yet we tend to put crying in a different category, and so you get lots of people, you know, going up, rushing off to the toilet and crying. And as you say, there's shame attached to it. So it might be more to kind of change everyone's attitude towards crying.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been very, you know, a lot of changes, as I say, you know, coming up with policies and different things, how to deal with, you know, people's reactions to things, or, you know, particularly with managers, it's lots of different programs and trainings and employee programs coming in. And I think with crying, it's really about just looking at it as, how can you support the person? And then you can follow up and get context and then see if there's further need for kind of HR intervention, or if there's maybe someone's being bullied, or maybe someone is struggling with a micromanager or things like that. But if it is a personal thing, I suppose the important thing is to just acknowledge the person in the moment. Pause, you know, really give them the space to see if they want and need time aside, particularly if it's in a meeting. Obviously with Rachel Reeves, you know, reading the papers and looking this up, a lot of people weren't seeing her crying in the moment, let's say her party colleagues. So I suppose she was in a very visible seat, so it could be different. But overall, the theme is to just really kind of lead with empathy, not try and fix it, but normalize it, because we're all human. And as Rachel is, she's under serious duress. She's got a huge role in terms of trying to reform and do a U-turn on, you know, fiscal policy and the budgets and all that. So I suppose it's to give, we may never know why she was crying, but to give the space and not be too judgmental, and to make sure that the context of the role that she's in is actually taken into account as well, and that she is actually human underneath it all.
Yeah. Is there a gender divide in that sense, that it's probably more likely to be a woman who cries at work, and then men go, oh, you know, She's crying.
Yeah, I know. This is something that would have been around definitely previously. I think there's probably more of an understanding from both sides of the gender and all genders around if someone does cry, because the theme of you know, emotion and humans and that kind of training around well-being and mental health and that is so communicated in businesses now. But I do think that even from my own experience of clients that I work with, you know, most of the emotional side of coaching would probably fall more on the female side of things. Men definitely do express it in different ways, but I think women tend to be the people who would probably show the tears probably a bit more.
Linda, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That's the career consultant, Linda Barry there. Brian, actually, on Blue Sky says, I have a friend who worked in a fashion retail place and they had a crying room for staff. It was unofficial, but well used. God, that says something about the pressure many people are under, I imagine. I cried at work once 25 years ago after not getting a promotion, and I've never forgotten it. I felt so annoyed at myself that I had let my emotions get the better of me. Another texter says, I'm a manager and I've had people in my office crying at work. And as a boss, it is so difficult to see someone so upset in front of you. I do think we need to be taught how to deal with it, because your instinct is actually to give them a hug. But as a manager, you need to respect their boundaries too. Well, indeed. But yeah, maybe, I suppose it's hard to navigate the kind of rules around that, because then can you not kind of, maybe it is okay to give someone a hug in the sense that you're acting as a human being rather than I am just my role here in that sense, if someone's having a genuine human reaction. The best thing about working from home is you can have a private cry rather than have to run to the bathroom. Which again says it all, doesn't it, really? People feel ashamed if they have real emotions in front of other people. Though somebody has brought it back to politics, I wouldn't be feeling sorry for a woman who's taken money from the sick and elderly. Shame the tears weren't remorse for her own behaviour. Well, you don't know what they've said, that the reason for the tears were a personal private matter. I don't know what the reasons were, and neither do you. So maybe hold off on being too judgy, because even though you may vehemently disagree with political action she's taken, she's still a human being. Like the rest of us. And someone says, I cried so much in my last job. I think if you are crying at work, it is a sign you need to leave, because life is too short for that. Carry on. True. Or, you know, given that, it also could be a sign of something to do with your workplace and the way it's run.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.